And we've been going through a fascinating sugya, the sugya of Pnei Hador K'Pnei HaKelev, that the generation is one that likes to break boundaries. That's the definition of chutzpah. A dog barks, busting out of the fence, trying to get you, trying to leave his boundaries. And we pointed out that this is a major nisayon where a lot of the lines are being crossed in our generation. Lines between Rebbe and Talmud, lines between parents and children, lines between older people and younger people. This is the generation where all the boundaries are blurred. And last week we went through the sugya of nibble peh, which I was happy to see that people realized. Some people asked me why I was discussing nibble peh right after this. Was it just a random thing that I was upset about nibble peh? And other people chop that this is exactly the sugya of breaking boundaries. Chazal defined, the Shari Tshuva says, just like the meat of a dog, the kelev is azus, is a brazenness. The Shari Tshuva defines, the Chafetz Chaim defines nibble peh as leaving your boundaries. There are certain things you just have. You have a certain amount of shame, a certain amount of self-respect, and there are certain things you don't say. Hakol yodin kala lama nechnasa l'chuppah. Everyone knows why a kala goes to the chuppah. And there are certain things that you're not willing to get out of that past the mechitza. The mouth is not supposed to express such things. Now we're hitting a very difficult sugya, and to be honest, this is probably, I'm the most nervous to give this shmooze out of any shmooze, if you want to know what's going on by me, the most davening for this shmooze. But it's a very serious topic, and it has to do with breaking boundaries. Same thing, the breaking mechitzas. And this is the breakdown of the home, of the bias, of the marriage unit, the unit of husband and wife, that is quite scary. And it's scary in my business because you see people when they're young, you see how they are, you see when they're about to get married, and you're like, I don't know if this is such a great idea yet, I think they should wait a little bit. And then you see what happens, and you see that you weren't so far off. And this is a very scary thing, and this is something that has to be taken care of now. Rav Matisyahu Salomon says, it's very nice that Bachrim come for a chasen shmuz, but they're a few years too late. If a person wants a chasen shmuz, they have to work much, much earlier. So let's go through, even though it's a little bit unconventional, let's go through what an ideal marriage looks like. A marriage is based on a certain nobility, a certain respect between a wife and a husband, the way they look at each other. Says the Rambam in Hilchas Ishas Perek Tesvav, V'chein tzivu chachamim shia adam mechabed es ishto yoser migufo. A person is required to be mechabed, to respect his wife. Respect his wife more than himself. Respect is a very important sugya in our, as we talked about breaking boundaries. He's chayev to respect his wife more than himself. And Oavo Kiguvo, he has to love her like himself. V'chein tzivu chachamim al isha, she's required. Shetia mechabedes es baila biyoser midai, v'yulo alea mora v'tasek kol maaseh, she's supposed to treat her husband like a prince. This is a beautiful relationship. And this relationship is not one where each one's holding on to their directions, like, oh right, today I have to treat my husband like a prince. And she's like, oh right, today I have to treat my wife with more kavod. It's something that's natural. It's a certain malchus, a certain melucha that's within every home, that in the most healthy form there's a tremendous amount of kavod, a tremendous amount of respect, looking up to one another between ish v'ishtay. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is medayik in a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Yud Ches. The Gemara says that Rav Chanina ben Tradyan, he was taken to be killed from the Haruge Malchius. And the Gemara asks, why was it? And because he was giving shir in a way that involved expressing the name of Hashem, being Hoyges Hashem, a very complicated sugya. saying the name of Hashem in a way that you're not supposed to. And he had a reason why he should be able to do it, because he was teaching. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know, is medaktik on tzaddikim with a hair's breadth, kechud asayra, and he was punished. And the Gemara asks, why was his wife punished, though? His wife was also taken out. And the Gemara says the following thing. It says that she should have made a macha. She should have protested. She should have told her husband not to give shir in these inyanim. And Rav Chaim Shulevitz, it's brought in Sichas Musar, but I heard it from somebody who was at a Sheva Brachas when Rav Chaim Shulevitz said this. He says he doesn't understand the Gemara. He says, Rav Chanina ben Trad in the Gadol Hadar, he's giving shir, he's got a reason why he's giving shir this way. His wife's going to come in and say, Chanina, not a good idea. He's going to listen to her. Says Reb Chaim Shulevitz at the Sheva Brachos, state in my Gemara, it says in my Gemara that it would have worked, because why would she have been punished if it was a joke? If she's just going to stop, say something that doesn't work. You don't get punished if you're just going to do something, speak to the Gadol Hador, he happens to be my husband. He says, no, the goal of a marriage is such where a wife can have that influence, even on a Gadol B'Yisrael, because he treats her with that type of understanding. He knows that she understands. Rav Chaim Shulevitz says he would have listened to her. He would have listened to her. Because there's a melucha here. There's a king and there's a queen, and the queen is Amanda Amar. She has what to say because she's a great lady. And Rav Simcha Zitzel Broidy Zatzal, in Sam Derech, in Shmois, says that Why did Hashem create our counterpart, an Isha? Created that for us because it's the best thing that we could ever have. Why? Says usually when you ask other people for advice, you get very defensive. You know? We don't like advice from other people. Why? Because we feel they're out to get us. We feel they don't have our best interest in mind. We're competitive with them. But there's one person who knows us pretty well, better than everyone else, ourselves. We know ourselves the best, but what's our problem? We love ourselves too much. We're too willing to let ourselves go. We're too nogei b'davar to give ourselves the proper etzes. There's only one person in our lives who has both milas, who's like us, knows us backwards and forwards, but loves us deeply in a way that we would never feel in any way attacked or brought down by her. And that's our Rebbetzin. That's our wives. Our wives were brought, they're ishtoi kigufo. They're mamish a part of you. They know exactly, Stark, I know you, or Dove, whatever my wife called me. They're like, don't do that. I know what you're thinking right now. That's not a good idea. Don't call him now. Don't do that. You're way too absorbed in your covet. You're way too absorbed. Hey, she's trying to kill me. No, she's not. She's my wife. She loves me. So I have to listen. Because the pshat is, that's the beautiful dynamic relationship between a husband and wife, is that there's such a great connection. Rabbi Akiva Eger writes in his Hesped that he stayed up. Rabbi Akiva Eger stayed up late at night discussing great things with his Rebbetzin, great deep philosophical inyan. I'm not saying you should do that, but there's no exception to this rule. There's a king and a queen, and there's a melucha, and there's a house with mechitzos, with walls, with barriers, and the walls say, this is my home, this is my wife, this is my husband, and everything outside, there are walls, there are mechitzas. But when you break those walls, we have problems. How do you break these walls? How do you break these barriers? Where a husband and wife are not looking towards each other? It's very easy, but before that, let's try to understand how you build these walls. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. Mitzvah Tav Kuf Pei Beis. Many of you have heard of the mitzvah or the concept of Shana Rishona. A lot of people think it's playing board games all night. It's kind of true. But there's actually a mitzvah. Before board games, there was a mitzvah. It's brought in the Sefer HaChinuch. A mitzvah to spend the entire year with your wife, not go to war, not go out for foreign business. Why? What's the goal? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, an amazing lashon. Ki akel baruch hu alo b'machshav livros ha'olam v'chefzer sheyisyashi b'briyas toivos ha'noldos mizrach v'nekeva. Hashem wanted a partnership between a husband and wife. Ki haznus to'eva l'fanav. Hashem cannot stand illicit relationships. Al kein gazar aleinu ha'am asher bachar lios nikra al shmo, the chosen nation. We were chosen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, Sheneshev inam ha'ishim yuchedes lanu. We should stay with our one and only wife. Lahakim zera shana shleim, an entire year. Me'esh nasasa, why? Kidei lahargil hateva ima, to get used to her. V'lahadbik haratzon etzla, to be totally immersed in her. V'lahachnis tziyura v'chol pa'al abalev, to be totally emotionally attached to her. Until every other woman on the planet, v'chol in yoneha derech zaras, are like aliens to us, are foreign to us. This is the first year of marriage. How have I did to get this in 1 year? But the goal of marriage is nothing exists outside my walls. As much as a person feels that way towards his wife, as a husband feels that way towards his wife, and a wife feels that way towards a husband, there's a health in the home. But as soon as there's an interest in anything outside of the home, we have a problem. And I want it to be medayik. How do you work on this? How do you work on this when you're younger? Well, I know a little bit, we have to do Shnayim Mikra. I don't get to learn so much in this job, but I get to do Shnayim Mikra. And I was bothered by Akasha. The word zona, which is a very serious word, I'm not going to translate it into English. Hopefully you guys know what it is. But the word zona, how do you translate it into Targum, into Aramaic? Well, there are two Targumim of it. In Sefer Bereishis, this word comes up. The word zona comes up by Shimon and Levi, the Maisa with Dina, and Shechem and Chamor. Right? Shimon and Levi said, they're making our sister into a zona. We know what happened over there. Right? Dina was raped. She was nanas. And then we find by Tamar, when Tamar, the Heilige Tamar, was trying to now be Mamshech Klal Yisrael in a way that Mashiach will eventually come from that union with Yehuda. She stood at the Pesach. She stood at the crossroads as a zona, what we know as a zona. And the Targum translates this in a way that I'd like to edit the Targum, because I just don't understand how he's saying it. The Targum translates, what's the word zona mean? A zona is a nafik bara. Somebody who goes out, excuse me. We all know what a zona is, right? We've looked at the Hebrew-English dictionary. We know what a zona is, believe me. What in the world is the Targum saying? The definition of a zona is a nafik bara. Somebody who goes out. And the answer, I think, is the Targum is giving you the deepest shoresh of what totally destroys a marriage. The Targum is not interested in what the end result of a zona is. The Targum is interested in what the yisoid, what the shoresh of a zona is. A zona is someone who goes out. A lot of wonderful girls, wonderful single girls in seminaries, they go out to town. And you know what? Maybe it's not so bad right now. I think it is so bad right now. But they're going out. What's the big deal? They're going out. They're interested in what's going on. They want to see. They want to schmooze. They want to be around other people, make new relationships. What's so terrible about this? The answer is that these girls have already been margil themselves to be nafik bara, to be interested in other people than their future husbands. They've already put into themselves. They've ingrained in themselves that there are things that are interesting that are not the man that they will have at the end. And this takes a terrible toll. Because such a person, of course, everybody could be chozer b'tshuva, but such a person who's interested in the outside, with what's going on in different people of the opposite gender, so that type of disease is something that stays. A girl like this turns into a lady, and she goes to Sam's Bagels, and she's dressed like she's going to the Waldorf Astoria. What's pshat? It's a bagel with cream cheese. Like we're not talking about Prime Grill over here. We're not talking about Solo. It's a bagel with cream cheese. It's an iced coffee. Push it. Wow! Look at this. She's a nafik bara. She's not with even with her husband right now. Right now, she wants the world to notice her. Because she values outside of her mechitzas. And you know what? There are husbands who like this. You know why? Because they value what's going on outside. They look at their wife as a piece of cardboard, as a trophy. They have no relationship with their wife. They want them to prance around just so that their friends can see what they have. And then when you go into their houses are rotten. A bucher just told me this week, he's petrified. He went into a house and he sensed, Rebbe, please don't, this is why I gave this room. God tells me, Rebbe, I don't want this to happen to me. I see what's going on in these people. They're like cardboard. Cardboard relationships. Because a person is more concerned of the outside of his mechitzas than him being the king and his wife being the queen, and the old world can take a hike. But if somebody is interested in outside when they're younger, then we have a problem. We have a problem that the boundaries have been broken. When people call wives by first names, and chas v'shalom, a husband would even like such a thing. And we even know sometimes when people are not listening, people call Rebbetzins by first names. In the dorms, they think it's funny, you know, hey, this Rebbetzin, that Rebbetzin, we call them. You're breaking boundaries. You're destroying the marital unit. That's what you're doing. What you're saying is, there's nothing private over here. It's all, you come into someone's house, Avrek's house, hey, Sally, how's it going? You know, one of the rabbanim told me, there was a girl there, and one of the bachrim came in, a married girl, and she goes, okay, Shlomi, don't say hello to me. Fine, Shlomi, don't say hello. The rabbi was like, he's a bachur, you're married. Like, you're getting offended? You know how sick that is? You know what a disease that is? You know how hard it is for a son to respect a mother like that? Because she's living outside the home. She's not going to be interested in her kids either. She's going to be interested in hopping around with her being nafik barah, going outside. Going nowhere. I remember one time I was with my daughter Shani, she was little. We went to a train station in Maryland, and it was like a totally abandoned train. We were going to visit my grandmother, who was in an old age home there. And we were going down an escalator. And my daughter taps me and goes, Abba, we're going nowhere. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, this is really weird. I look down, and I'm telling you, the lights were very dark. There was, must have been a black carpet, okay? But it looked like we were going in an escalator down to a black hole. I just go, ah! My daughter goes, ah! And then my other daughter goes, no, that's just a carpet. I'm like, oh. But it should be scary. We're going nowhere. Bachrim who are going to Tel Aviv on and off Shabbos are going nowhere. They should be screaming. That's where you pick to go on an off Shabbos in Yun Yeshiva? Why? What's interesting there? You know what's interesting? Everything that will not be your wife, and you'll pay the price. There's a high stake to all of this. There's a price to pay for everything that's going on. A person needs to start building their own inner self. Real content. Am I somebody who has principles? Am I somebody my kids will be proud of? Am I someone that my wife will look at me like I'm the hero of the world and I'll look at her like she's the greatest thing on the planet? It won't exist by somebody who's looking outside. It starts now. As much as a person values their inner self will be as much as they value what's going on in their house. Everyone wants to press a button. I've never seen somebody successful in pressing a button and poof, as soon as they end up in the parsha, yeah, it's all good, I'm now a new guy. Not a new guy at all. Not a new guy at all. At these mixed meals that go on in these areas, let me tell you, I hear from Avrechim. You know what Avrechim tell me? They say their wives come home from one of these mixed meals, which everyone's having a good time. Why aren't you like that woman's husband? You see how much she helps? And he's going, why aren't you like her? You see how well she cooks? What are you doing? In my life, I never would imagine ever looking at somebody else's wife, what she's doing. My best friend's wives have been 9 months pregnant and I haven't known. And I've been schmoozing with them. Call me crazy, the spooky guy. It's none of my business. It's off limits. I have everything in front of me. I remember this happened recently last year. A good friend of mine who lives mamash next door. He says, I'm making a Shalom Zachar. I'm like, Mazel Tov, I was so excited. I called my wife. I'm like, this guy's making a Shalom Zachar. He's like, his wife's not pregnant. I'm like, oh, he was making Shalom Zachar for somebody else. I just got so excited. But I was proud, Rabosai. I was proud because I have everything at home. There's a price to pay for these things. And everyone wants to know, does it get better? Does your hurim get better after marriage? This is the age-old question. And the answer, like anything in Lamdas, is it depends. It depends. Yesh lachkor. Okay, we'll say a chachira. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos, on Samach Gimel, the Gemara says that Dayenu shemegadlus b'neinu. It's enough what the wives do for us. They raise our children. Umatzilas osanu minachet. They prevent us from our yetzer hara. Says Rashi, what's the chet that we get that they prevent us from? Hir hur chet. State in Rashi, getting married gets rid of your hurim, right? Not so fast. Not so fast. The Rashash brings the Gemara in Baba Basra that says there are three things that a person cannot prevent in his life. One of which is your hurim, because it's a natural bodily issue. So if your issue is just that you're a bachur without an outlet, so then marriage becomes an outlet and your hurim get considerably less because now you have an outlet. That's just a natural conclusion, and it's mefurish in the Gemara. However, if you're somebody who looks outside, and you always looked outside, marriage makes this area a living nightmare. Because now you're more in this sugya, you're more involved in this area, and you're still looking outside, the last thing you're going to want to think about is what's going on at home. Things run wild at that point. Because the person who was nafik bara at the beginning was just sort of schmoozing with someone in town. Had one of these fake girlfriends. And now, he's really in the sugya of these things, and he's looking elsewhere. He's looking for things. And this is how the home destroys itself. Yeah, everyone says this is why it was destroyed, and that is why it destroyed. Iker chaser min ha-sefer, the etzem relationship, Rabosai. A person is supposed to marry a girl that is attractive to him. That is the halacha, okay? There's a mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, and this is a normal part of marriage. A kala na'a is something that every person, beauty's in the eyes of the beholder, but of course that's a regular, understandable part of marriage. However, somebody who marries a girl for her looks, and I hear a lot, Rabosai, a lot of this is not coming from Myra Makovas today, it's coming from the garbage that I hear, from people who are unfortunately married, people who are almost there, people who are getting there, v'chule. Marrying someone for their looks. So consider the following mashal, okay? A guy wants to play a trick on his friend. He says, I have a shidduch for you. Fine, great, he's very excited. He says, I just want to show you a video presentation first, just so you could pick out which one of three people you want. Okay, fine. Okay, this is off the record. I don't recommend these video presentations, but for the mashal, you'll be meichel me. It wasn't on a plasma TV, it was on an old-fashioned TV, you know, not high definition, v'chule. So he sits down and the guy turns on the video and he sees, wow, fine. And he says, I for sure want that one. He says, you sure you want that one? He says, yeah. She's probably famous, she's in Hollywood, you know, but I would like that one. He goes, no problem. He goes, but we have to book a ticket. Fine, where are we booking a ticket? Florida. Florida, interesting. Okay, I thought they were in Hollywood. Florida! So they get on a plane and they go to an old age home. And all out comes this lady with a walker. And he goes, this is your kala. So what are you talking about? He goes, I didn't tell you that movie was from the 60s. Rabosai, do you understand that you're supposed to live with your wife for your entire life? And the joke is on you. The joke is on you because guess what? If a person marries, as Rav Noach Orluik said, he says, somebody who marries someone for their looks is like investing in a stock that you know will go down. Who does that? Who does that? It definitely will go down. It definitely will. I'm going to be the exception. Guess what? You'll see, you won't, and you'll be the laughing stock of yourself and everyone around you. You know what one baby does to a woman? So you have to have content in your life. You actually have to have substance. If you don't, it will be a living Gehenna for you to be married to your wife. Because it could take only a year for everything that you thought to be there, and now you're stuck with this airhead who you thought was such a beautiful girl, and now the kids are coming over to her, and they're going, Mommy, the little pre-K kids, it's Avram Yitzchak, and who's the third guy? And it's like, I know this one! I know this one! Esav's brother! Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And now this is the mother of your children. Mazel tov! That's not scarier than the mushroom that we had? And that's what happens. So people just ditch the situation. They'll say it's because of this or because of that, but they're escaping a reality. They're escaping the beauty of a life with a Malka. So we have to think about this. We have to think if we're preparing, Rabbi Hussai. We have to think if we respect people at all. You want to respect a wife and you don't respect people. Sometimes I come in, it's painful. It's painful to walk into the dining room in yeshiva. It's painful to walk into the dorms. Not because it's a mess. I don't mind the mess. I wore the same socks for months, you know, when I was in yeshiva. But what bothers me is the way people talk to each other. No one has respect for each other. You know how many times people get called out in a regular meal? You know, it's so embarrassing. I don't know how people make it through. Sometimes while I'm there, I just want to cover my eyes so that no one should feel that they're getting embarrassed. But everyone's just throwing out lines. You know what happens when you throw out lines to a wife? You lose her. You lose her. But I was just joking. That's the way we talk. No, you actually have to think about how you respect people today. It will not just be by the flick of a switch. Every person who speaks to a bucher, a friend like this, will speak to his wife this way and will have bad shalom bias. I'm telling you, because it's not the way the Torah teaches us to speak to people. A person must respect his friend. And his wife, oh, must he respect her. But if he can't even respect the people around him, his chaverim, someone told me, we love each other and we hate each other. That's so deep, wow. That's the way you describe your friends. I never describe my friends, we love each other but we hate each other. Sounds like Shakespeare. What is that? Because the pshat is they ride into people. What is he doing? Part of growing up and part of preparing for marriage and being a proper father. A father who throws a one-liner at a kid breaks him. Breaks him. And you can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again when he's young. You cannot do that. You throw a one-liner at a kid, you break him. But that's the way you've been talking your whole life. So a person must stop it now. A person must actually compliment people. A person must say, this has got to stop. I can't do this. A person has to change. And when a person changes as a bacher, his entire life is with a romamus, with a greatness, with a royalty. And a person has to ask himself if he has boundaries. We said a bias, a house, is made of mechitzas. Wall here, wall here, wall here, wall here. Do I have boundaries? Am I just like whatever about everything? Are there things that get me so mad because I feel they're wrong? Are there places I will not go? Do you know that every child who respects a father, what they like to quote is, my father would never allow such a thing. It's a certain feeling of security. Wow, dad has a plan. Dad has conviction. No, dad, me and dad just smoke up all the time, man, yeah. We go to raves together, yeah, man. It's awesome. I never saw Hatzlacha in such a mahal. But Rabosai, this is serious. This is on my heart. This is on my heart. People are dropping like flies. You can decide to be big today or not. The choice is yours. But just realize that this, Be'ezus Hashem, this is the final shmuz on mechitzas, on these inyanim of knowing boundaries, of appreciating, understanding. We have a big responsibility. We should all be zocha to build a bayis nem v'yisrael.